There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Let's do this. I am back, Midday Mobile, live on this Thursday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours, 343-0106. That's the phone number, the text line, 343-0106. And a lot of guests stopping by today. Brendan Kirby will be here. Cameron Smith is going to be here. We'll also talk about the Try the Gulf triathlon event happening at Dolphin Island this weekend. We'll get into that. The actual assault on Republicans... maybe assault on the right, but probably specifically Republicans is going on. And this is not just figurative. It's the literal assault. We'll talk about that. Also, we'll talk about could you restore civility into politics? I've got my opinion. I'll get the opinion of Cameron Smith on that in just a little bit. Also, I would like to add into the mix, what is his name? So I have heard the slain man, Dalton, you said to me when I showed back up here, you said, "Hey, Sean, they have national news, local news has given so many different versions." Dalton, I'm just going to call him Kobayashi. Is that bad if I take? I know he was murdered and possibly cut to pieces here, and you told me too. By the way, y'all, it's Khashoggi, right? Is it Khashoggi? Somebody said Khashoggi Bear the other day. Khashoggi, right? The Saudi who arrived in Turkey. The Turk. Okay, you have the story of the Jamal Khashoggi who disappeared here in a trip to the embassy, right? This is causing some issues here back stateside. Not enough denunciation of the Saudis here. You've got Saudi consul Mohammed Al-Otabi, who said he's heard the video recording of Khashoggi being killed and dismembered in the consulate there in Turkey, the Saudi consulate. Then you have the story of one of the 15 Saudis who, the story from the New York Post that Dalton was talking about this morning, one of 15 Saudis who arrived in Turkey the same day that Jamal Kobayashi disappeared, has died in a suspicious traffic accident. This Mashal Saad al-Bastani, 31, lieutenant, the Saudi Royal Air Force. So there's that story going on. There's two things. There's a real story there, obviously, but it is being used for political expediency here in the States, trying to use this as some kind of bludgeon against President Trump. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. But I just at the beginning of this, I just want to lay out that the name's been said a lot of different ways. So Khashoggi is the name, right? But I have heard many others, so I will go with Kobayashi. That's the hot dog eating guy. I don't know. I mean, if everybody else is going to goof it up, I'll goof it up my own way. All right, and before we even get into more of international and national politics, and like I said, Cameron Smith joins us in just a little bit, I have to do this. I have to just, can we vent a second here? Ladies and social justice warriors, prepare yourself for outrage and anger at me, okay? And I've been gone for like 3 days, so the cash is not full, so I'm ready for your outrage. Kleenex maker Kimberly-Clark says it will rebrand its man-sized tissues after consumers complained that the name was sexist. Y'all, this is where we've arrived. Kimberly-Clark says they're going to rebrand it because people are upset with man-sized Kleenex. The company said that following a, quote, consistent increase of complaints on gender concerns, that's a quote from them, the product is now going to be called Kleenex Extra Large. It's like a shaming there, right? If you're extra large, right? If you need, if you maybe you have extra large nose, you need Kleenex extra large, and they're pointing that out, right? Packages for the tissues describe them as confidently strong and comforting. Comfort. I can't say that word. It's like comfort, but it's an adverb. Comfortingly soft. Okay, so now it is a thing. The social justice warriors have pushed back so much that Kimberly-Clark makers of Kleenex have said they're not going to have man-sized tissues. They say, in a quote here from Britain's Daily Telegraph, that they say, in no way this name suggests that being both soft and strong was an exclusively masculine trait, nor do we believe that man-sized branding suggests or endorses gender inequality. We're talking about stinking things you blow your nose into. The stuff that comes out of your nose goes into this thing, and the people are upset because it was called this size was called man size. They go on here. Kimberly-Clark says, nevertheless, as we remain committed to developing the best possible products for our consumers, we take any feedback extremely seriously, and we decide to renovate our current product and update the product sub-brand as Kleenex Extra Large. Dalton, do you think anybody suggested Kleenex Magnum? You think, just call them Magnums? What would be wrong? Why are y'all giving me this? Kleenex Magnum, right? Wouldn't that be the better? But no. They're Kleenex Extra Large. So I guess, where does this arrive next? Where does this, we can't say, I guess, manhole covers. What are manhole covers? How do I refer, in today's world, how do I refer to a manhole cover? Is it a person hole cover? Is it a, what is the schwa, or whatever the za, or whatever the non-specific pronoun is, the za cover? I mean, it's not manholes, so just hole covers. Can we call them hole covers? When I'm going to give you a story about somebody stealing, you know, metal covers off of those, I say they stole just covers. I can't say manhole now. And also, what does this mean for, let's talk about what's serious here. Serious stuff here. What does this mean for Manwich?
Our Tommy is quite a lumberjack.
You're hungry as lumberjacks too, right, Gramps?
Hey, I'll make sandwiches.
Yeah, a sandwich is a sandwich.
But a manwich is more like a meal.
That's right.
And what's a manwich?
Well, a sloppy joe's made with your fresh ground beef plus Hunt's manwich sauce. Thick with tomatoes,
so
onions, peppers, makes more of a meal.
Oh, Grandpa.
Like I said, a sandwich is a sandwich.
But a manwich is a meal.
Yeah, especially for us hungry lumberjacks.
Right, and it's, you know, it's, although lumberjack is a term, you would say non-gender specific, but it's not a lumberjill, right? It's a lumberjack. So, number one, it's called man, how insensitive, it's called manwich. It says that the masculine is the better of the choices. Everything else, the feminine would be with a sandwich. Not until you add the reconstituted tomato paste to it, now it becomes masculine. And it's obviously hurtful to people out there and sexist. So, Kleenex is now rebranding their man size as Magnum. I'm sorry, as extra large. And in addition, Manwich is a meal, but also a sexist slant on things. So there you go. And I don't know, I know official word on what we're going to do with manhole cover, if we can still use that or not. Not exactly sure. So some of the things that are bouncing around out there just as we get started. So, and make sure you know, yeah, the text line is open there for all your anger for my horrible sexism. You can direct that over to the text line or email Sean. I spell it the weird way. S-E-A-N. The masculine version is S-E-A-N at fmtalk1065.com. So there you go. Social justice warriors, you've accomplished great things here. You've taken out the man-sized Kleenex, and I imagine it's got to be next on your list, Manwich. So if you can go out, run to the store to get the reconstituted tomato paste and stock up on Manwich, because soon Manwich will not be a thing that is allowed. All right. Be right back. We'll keep doing the show thing. Glad you're here.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Glad to have you along. And just looking through the text line, Dalton, just full of people that have their own versions of things that may change. Mm-hmm. As the social justice warriors have succeeded getting Kleenex to rebrand their man-sized tissues. You know, the thing, I'll say it, the thing you blow snot in.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they were bothered that it was saying man-sized, that they were somehow better and mm-hmm. man-sized, so now they're just going to rebrand them extra large. I suggested Kleenex Magnum.
Yes.
Kleenex Magnum.
Just by bringing this story up, you've managed, I mean... womanage. No, or is it just edged? You've edged.
I've edged.
Everyone on the text line. You've got them all upset. But
well, this is what's happening. And so, and I worry about the real, you know, fabric of this country, of our republic, because next they're going after Manwich. And, you know, it's just a sandwich until you put some reconstituted tomato stuff on there. And then it's uh-huh. Then it's a Manwich. And that is so, that is so sexist and so mean towards women.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, the rumor is at the Kleenex offices, they're going to have to, they had one coming out really soon.
Yeah.
The Lifetime Movies Special Edition Kleenex box. Now they're rethinking this.
You didn't just say that.
What channel makes people cry the most? Maybe Lifetime Movies.
Oh, you're saying people. You're not saying women. You're saying people.
I said people. Because I'm politically correct.
Okay. So a combo deal where you would get like some kind of collector edition Kleenex mm-hmm. box if you watched enough Lifetime TV.
Right. Like the DVD boxes that have two movies in it. This yeah. just comes with a Lifetime box and a box of Kleenex.
Do you think they'll market one for Tennessee fans for this weekend? Do you think that'll
probably
be?
Yeah. Okay, I guess all the Alabama fans get the cigar box.
Y'all get some Kleenex.
Tennessee fans get the Kleenex boxes.
All right, there we go. See,
that
when
stings.
You, when you're angry and you want to take it out on somebody, Dalton, his phone number is 343-0106. Our buddy Cameron Smith from AL.com joining us now. Yeah, we could offer like Tennessee fans a Kleenex deal. Something like that.
Yeah, probably. I mean, part of the issue right now is this is reason 4,576 why Trump won.
yes.
It's this
yes.
kind of stuff that people are just... I've got a column coming out on it today that points out that the horse face thing, some of the stuff that, you know, everyone has just this outrage over, there are a lot of people, probably about half the country, that's like, that's kind of ridiculous, and I don't want to play these stupid games. And that in and of itself, that drives many progressives mad. But I think Trump really resonates with a lot of folks that are just kind of tired of being told that, like, their Kleenex is wrong.
Right. And there's a subtlety to it, because Lord knows, just give it a couple days, I'll be back, and somebody will call me a flaming liberal because, you know, I have, you know, I don't believe everything is without note. You and I've had these discussions before. There's some things that are used in terms, and once again, I don't believe it's government's job to limit them, but I believe there's a lot of things that are offensive, and I don't want to hear people use, you know, terms to each other or demean other people certain ways. That's my personal opinion. But to tell me that the man-sized Kleenex. I mean, you finally hit a point here with even folks like me that I go, come on.
Yeah, and I think that's where we are. I'm with you. I mean, I know the difference in right and wrong. I know things that are appropriate and not appropriate.
Right.
I mean, it's not really complicated. My kids know that.
Yes.
Calling someone a horse face is not okay. I'm not suggesting that it is or condoning it. I'm simply saying that, like, in the grand scheme of things, when I see that, there are a lot of people that are subordinating those character flaws in Trump to, I just can't put up with any more of the ridiculousness that's telling me that, like, I am the oppressor, I am horrible, I am all things bad. It's just a bit much. I mean, we saw this at the Kavanaugh hearing, this notion mm-hmm. that if you had a rational argument why it would be okay, the Susan Collins argument for supporting Kavanaugh, then you basically were okay with sexual assault. It's that kind of thing that yeah. makes people, like, lose their minds and say, hey, Trump isn't perfect. He has some real character issues, but you know what? He likes to fight, and he will pop him in the mouth. And that's what really has people behind him right now.
You know, I wonder if this sways people that weren't so sure before because of the tit for tat, although I probably can't say that now, the for tat situation out there, because you say, oh, well, people are upset because he dared call Stormy Daniels horse face. Okay. Think about just let's take a given snippet of on social media and cable news in a 3-hour period Once again, neither of us have been ever claimed, even though somebody was claiming it on Facebook over the weekend, neither of us have ever been branded as being Trump banner men. But I'm going to tell you what's fact. And what fact is he has called so many things that are worse than horse face every 35 minutes out there that, my heart doesn't break for those that are lobbing bombs and don't want, rocks thrown back at their glass house.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, this notion that, well, hey, 35 minutes, how about every 3 seconds?
Yeah.
I mean, Trump is ridiculed and harangued, and yeah, he's a public figure. I don't really have a huge problem.
Well, and Stormy Daniels is too.
But I do look at it and say, don't give me this garbage that, you expect Trump to be a choir boy when he's never demonstrated that he was going to be a choir boy. He has always kind of done things his own way. And then we act outraged when Trump behaves like Trump. Well, I'm not justifying it. I'm not saying it's okay. But then we just selectively ignore what we saw, we can call it mob-like behavior, the like screaming and like over-the-top insanity.
Oh, you're not allowed to use the term mob.
Around the Kavanaugh thing.
You're not allowed to use mob.
That doesn't seem consistent.
You can't say mob anymore, right? Even though I've actually, before I jumped to the conclusion, I did look at some of the video because I just heard it referenced. I hadn't seen it, so I went and watched video. And whether they be at the Supreme Court door or outside the Capitol or inside the Capitol or somebody getting on an elevator, and you're telling me that I can't use the word mob there, then when can I use the word mob?
Yeah, it defies belief that we can't use that word. I mean, people are just scratching their heads on the right saying, wait, what? When they act like a mob, you can't say mob? What is it that we can't? What is it that's bad about that? I mean, how does this word not apply to this scenario? And I think that's where we've got to kind of like sit back and say, no, it does apply to this scenario. That's what the word means. That's what you're doing and how you're behaving. And it's not that we're, we hate everyone or everything. It's that, hey, that's a descriptive word that applies to the situation. And playing these silly, silly games, I think a lot of people are just sick of it. And they're like, I'm not going to be a terrible person. I'm going to try to treat people well. So don't act like everything I do is wrong because I disagree with you. And that's where we've kind of come to.
And, of course, my question is always, the what's next? And I know there are a bunch of thought-out op-eds out there. There are some books out there where people are challenging this idea of, where do we go? How do we return to civility? I try to be positive here, but I haven't seen anything in the American experience that once a beachhead is reached that we go back. We may go back for a day or two, the old 9/12 sentiment, but it doesn't last.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I disagree a little bit in the sense that, I think all that's actually required here is for leaders to stop scaring people to death. I mean, in the column coming out today, I point out that fear is what's causing a lot of this. Fear is what's allowing us to overlook a lot of the character flaws and things we're seeing in our leaders because we're convinced we're in a street fight, we're in a civil war. The enemy will kill us and take away our way of life. A lot of Democrats believe that about Republicans. Republicans believe that about Democrats. And so in a war, we're rarely very civil. We're trying to win. We're not trying to get along. We're not trying to make sure that, people feel good. We're just trying to beat the other team. And that's where we are right now. If we want to get away from it, we can, but it's got to start with leaders who aren't, let's see if I can scare you to death. Because as long as we're in terrified land, this is going to keep happening.
And I don't know where that reconciliation is. I don't. I mean, I'm hopeful that you're right. I mean, I don't come at this hoping that it works that way. I fear that there, once the beachhead is established, it's tough to go back. And I hate that.
Well, it works. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, fear works in politics. I mean, if you want to turn out people to the polls, convince them that, somebody's going to attack their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Convince them that, life itself is at stake, and, man, they will show up in droves. If you try to say, hey, we need to, be reasonable here. We need to try to, work together. We need to try to find common ground. People are like, well, that's nice, but that doesn't create pressure for me to show up and vote. And so that is why we do this. It's why it's the way it is. I do think we can change, but we have to decide that. I mean, it's not going to be a political leader that's going to take us in a better direction. I mean, Trump is a symptom of us. He is not, you know, what's causing all this.
All right, coming right back, more with Cameron Smith with AL.com. We'll get your text line comments as well. I got a take on this. Imagine that. Where the civility has gone and why. We'll do that when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
Yeah. Set. Hey.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday, which, by the way, this begins the big 3-day stretch, or really even more, with the grand opening at Havana Rays. Now, I know Havana Rays Cigar Lounge, I've been telling you, they've been open for a while, but, like people in the industry, that's a soft opening. Okay, so now this is the hard opening, I guess, the grand opening going on. This is really cool what the Banises have lined up. All right, Havana Rays Cigar Shop here in Mobile, a cigar shop and lounge, has a marathon week for you. Of course, if you didn't check them out already, Havana Rays is Mobile's only upscale cigar shop and lounge, celebrating their grand opening tonight and tomorrow night, and really all weekend long. So tonight, Gurkha Cigar. I mean, number one, it's a good cigar. Number two, it's got the very cool logo, right, with the Gurkha knife. Gurkha Cigar events light up at 6 o'clock tonight with giveaways of the most popular swag in the industry, special pricing on Gurkha cigars, and as always, the patriarch of the Manus family, Ray, will be doing free Cuban cuisine. And y'all, I grew up on a lot of that, and his food is fantastic. And then tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, make sure you're there for the Maker's Mark tasting. They'll have live music with Ryan Balthrop. And Havana Rays Cigar Shop will also have 20% off all Z-Car products, $4 mojitos, and continuous free giveaways and raffles all weekend long. Then Saturday, special event, Southern Prohibition Beer Tasting starts at 11, goes till 1. And then Jack Daniel's tasting at 6. And for your beer drinkers, $2 domestics and free food all day. And how about this? You wonder if they have the game on? Of course they have the game on. They've got 6 TVs for you to watch football on. So be sure to get your Alabama football victory cigar. Or maybe they'll have the Kleenex for Dalton. And to wind down the weekend celebration, come relax on Sunday with $5 Bloody Marys and $3 Mimosas in one of their comfy leather club chairs. Havana Rays Cigar Shop and Lounge celebrating their long-awaited opening with specials for you. Plus, they're sending 10% of the revenue from the weekend, the proceeds, to hurricane relief over on the Florida Panhandle. Make your weekend destination Havana Rays Cigar Shop and Lounge, 2351 Airport Boulevard, online at HavanaRays.com. Continue our conversation with Cameron Smith from AL.com. And I just want to say this. As we ended up the last segment, we're talking about the incivility, and you're saying, you know, you want to get people out to the polls, get them scared. I would argue that maybe the issues out there, some of the bigger issues facing our republic are complex enough, or the differences between the Republican take and the Democrat take are not easy to articulate. So instead of trying to get into, you know, losing people's attention with the details and the nuance and maybe losing the argument, it's better just to attack, mob, and demagogue the other side. Not even talking about the issue. It's not about the issue one way or another. It's that the people that support that issue are a bunch of dirtbags.
Yeah, we personalize it because it's easier to have a bad guy than a complicated issue.
Bad person. Be careful. Bad person.
And that's what we're doing. I mean, we do not want to admit the complexity, because admitting the complexity would mean, well, we couldn't really... It makes for a very, very difficult 30-second ad or a soundbite. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work. I mean, if you have to explain something, it takes a little time. And what's funny is, there are some issues like abortion where we're just in an impasse, and we're going to be that way. But most issues don't really conveniently give themselves to Democrat or Republican, like trade issues, for example. I mean, we can have our alignment and fight our different battle lines, but like, there are a lot of Democrats who believe in free trade now. There are a lot of Republicans who do. There are Democrats and Republicans that don't. We need to recognize that a lot of issues are like that, and so I don't know that, you know, we don't want to admit the complexity. How about that?
Right.
So when we don't admit the complexity, we act like it's not there. We just keep doing the same old, let me punch you in the face, and we'll go from there. And that's not a great starting point.
Right. I mean, and this is happening now. It was happening during Obama, too. I mean, I remember going round and round, and I said, folks, I want Obama out of office as much as you, but let's talk about this lean towards socialism, what it does to you know, to our country. And all, and people said, but they were much more interested in talking about a birth certificate, right? I said, yo, I want him out just as badly as you do, but here's the actual issue. Here's the political issue. But it was just easier to demagogue on both sides, and that's what's being done to Trump now the same way. That it's, let's not get in there, let's not talk, because Trump, if anything, is not an ideologue. I mean, he is a, you know, businessman and negotiator, something that, you know, rubs people like me on some issues the wrong way, because I tend to be a lot more of an ideologue. But he's always looking for a negotiated deal. Well, there's, if you have somebody who does that, that's a big time threat to you know, the coyote and the sheepdog, right? Because their whole world is about they're one way and I'm the other. And if you have somebody that's in between that, you have to demagogue them more than ever. You can't let that
absolutely.
Person, you know.
And that's where we've fallen with this, is the idea that Trump is some sort of like card-carrying conservative. Like, he doesn't even believe that. Like, he said as much, that he's, you know, not totally conservative. And so we end up, oh, well, let's yell about Trump and say how horrible Trump is. And then the Republicans who look at that say, well, this is unacceptable. We totally – here's the problem. If you totally agree with any politician, you're doing it wrong. You're not being honest. You're not being truthful. Yet that is what we see over and over and over again, which is just blank check to Trump, blank check to Obama. Pick your politician, fill it in. And the argument is, well, basically, they're great and perfect, and the other guy's the worst. That's just wrong. And we just can't seem to get past that.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of you don't see Democrats out there arguing or rallying their people to discuss nuanced trade policy, right? Why they think one is better than the other, or a nuance of tax policy. They don't want to get into that. It is just that Trump is you know, it's collusion. It's Russia. Let's do something simple. It's you know, it's Stormy Daniels. Let's not talk.
Well, I mean, this is what. Frankly, Republicans did with Obama, is they said Obama is wrong about everything. Obama is going to destroy America. Well, guess what? We're literally hearing the same arguments about Trump, that, you know, Trump is a menace to our republic. You got Dan Rather came out, I guess, today saying we, like,
is he still alive?
People of goodwill will survive. I mean, it's just kind of like, whoa, folks. Like, if everything's this extreme, that no matter who the president of the United States is, they're going to destroy America, then we're in a world of hurt.
So, okay, that's good, because I didn't know Dan, he is still alive.
He is still alive.
Okay, just checking. I wanted to duly note that. All right, let's talk about something that you put up on AL.com. People can check it out. Headline, "We're here to worship, but I'll fight you if you sit in my seat." Nice way to lay bare and open what's going on inside your head, and I think we can all learn from this. Talk to us about what happened when y'all showed up and took your normal seats at church the other day.
So, this is something that I suspect will resonate with a lot of church-going folks. We got our seats. We were there early. We had done childcare earlier in the day, so, you know, we were prepared. We got our real estate staked out. We're ready to go. We're starting to sing. It's in the worship section. And, you know, the row's gotten pretty crowded, and these two ladies show up, and they say, you know, is there room? And they weren't really waiting to ask to see if there was room. And then we go to sit down, and as it turns out, you know, there's only two seats left for my family of four, because the other child was in childcare. And, you know, I got real upset. You know, I didn't care what we were there, why we were there. And a few minutes later, when, you know, that was standing up during worship, we a few minutes later dismissed the kids, and I, you know, have my two seats, one for me, one for my wife. And we have plenty of room, but I was steamed.
Well, you had the spacer. This is why it could resonate, y'all. You know, you sit your family down, and Cameron writes this, is that there's that space in between, unless it's like more of your kinfolk or whatever, or friends. But other than that, you leave this little bit of space, right? I mean, that's your buffer,
it's the buffer
zone. Yeah, it's your buffer.
Yeah, it's you stay over there, my family's over here. I mean, in that way, if God smites you during the service, I'm out of the blast radius. And basically, that buffer was taken away from me, And then for a brief period of time, my seats were inconvenienced. And, you know, it really revealed to me something about my heart that, like, I cared more about scratching and clawing and defending what was, I thought, my space and my real estate than I cared about, you know, making sure there was room for somebody on a Sunday morning.
Which, yeah, and if we're getting the message, we should, I mean, if anything, we should get up and offer the seat to somebody else. The whole seat.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, that's the right answer. And it just reminds me, and it kind of goes back to the political argument that, like, you know, we can be really petty. You know, we can really dig in. We get our feelings hurt a little bit. We get our sense of entitlement rattled. And then, you know, we act like that person who we perceived wronged us is the enemy. And that is just not right. It's not right as a matter of my faith, but it's also not right as a matter of my politics. That, like, we're, particularly in the United States, I mean, we're Americans. We need to work together. We need to find ways where we can have some common ground. And we just don't seem to be doing that real well right now.
Yeah, and whether it shows up in Washington or Montgomery or at your church, I mean, yeah, that's a it was good, a very good read, I think, and well-timed for sure.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think that, you know, most folks just need to think about it, need to think about what kind of people we want to be. And sometimes, look, I like winning as much as the next guy. I'm a big Alabama fan. We've had a lot of winning. But there are a lot of things more important than winning, and people,
well,
human
recruiting,
beings
recruiting.
Are really a big part of that.
Oh, you didn't mean recruiting, because,
well,
I mean, that's bigger than winning. I mean, you know, I mean, you got to recruit if you're going to win.
Right, you got to get the right players in, but, you know, it works for a metaphor.
As always, man, I appreciate it. People want to reach out to you online. Where do they go?
You can find me at DCameronSmith on Twitter or at AL.com/opinion and join the conversation.
As always, man, great stuff with Cameron. And we're coming right back. Grab some phone calls and text 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad you're here. And even if you're not here right now, I mean, I may be talking to you from the past. If you check out the podcast of this show or some of the 40-odd hours of, and odd may be true with this show, odd hours of podcastable shows, live local shows that we produce here at FM Talk 106.5, you can grab those a couple different ways. Number one, FMTalk1065.com. You'll see the tab there for podcast. Just hit that and you can get them a la carte there. You can get a buffet style, pick this show, that show, this hour, the other hour, or you can just go ahead and subscribe with iTunes for your Apple folks. Stitcher is great. I'm a old fogey that uses an Android. You can use Stitcher app is really good. Plus, if you go to TuneIn Radio, where you can stream us anytime on your smartphone, you can also get our podcast there and through Spotify as well. And by the way, yeah, TuneIn Radio. I got another question this morning about that. How do you listen on your phone? TuneIn Radio. Free download for Android or iPhones. And it's just a great, great app. Pauses, if you get a text or a call or something, pauses the audio, pick it back up, don't miss anything. TuneIn Radio, the name of that app. All right. Yeah, I want to mention this going on this weekend because, like, I personally think this is really cool, and I'd like to go to this because I like Kaneka sausage. Although, it's the Sausage Festival. Yes, Dalton, I'm saying the 16th annual Kaneka Sausage Festival. It starts off tonight, goes through the weekend as well. Obviously, the sausage is the key, right? That's the reason for the season for the Kaneka Sausage Festival. But they have a rodeo and a fly-in and all kind of stuff going on there at the airport off 84 in Evergreen. So it is, I guess you get started tonight, and then you could still, probably Saturday, I think, open 9 to 5 on Saturday. And tomorrow, I think it's 9 to 5 as well, opening at 6 this evening. So you can go by and check that out. If you're going to get up the road, the 16th annual Kaneka Sausage Festival. Arts and crafts vendors, which are at everything, no matter what you have, right? You got to have, it's almost like just a price of admission. We're going to have the so-and-so, plus there'll be arts and crafts. Food vendors, imagine that. Car show, live entertainment, children's area. The PCA Rodeo will be there tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. Okay, gates open up at each night at 6, That must be for the rodeo and all that. Armbands, $10 for adults. $20 gets you a three-day armband, $5 each for kids under 12. So there you go. And more information if you go to evergreenchamber.com, and you get it there. But lots of – have you had their crack black pepper? The cracked – I'll say – as soon as I say it's a new one, it's a new one to me because somebody will correct me. Oh, it's been out for 16 months or something. But to me, the cracked black pepper Kaneka sausage is new. I'm digging on it, too. I like all their stuff, but – and be able to go to a festival about it. That's on time. Hey, exactly what we were talking about a second ago with Cameron Smith, we're going to talk about next hour. One of our many stories we'll talk about with Brendan Kirby, and that is about this question: who is the bigger offender? Right, the political party of civility. Which one gets it? Now, listen, you're once again. Ostrich with head in the sand if you say that this is not bipartisan. If you say Republicans and those on the right have never been guilty of being uncivil to their opponents, then come on. Be realistic. But what's happening right now? It is not even... Okay, you know, what is a term that the left likes to use? Anything Donald Trump says is a dog whistle, right? Some, he says this, but it's heard by people, you know, whether they be the Nazis or whatever group out here. They hear this and they calls them to act out. We just got to whistle then if we're going to play this game with the Democrats. It ain't dog whistle. Everybody can hear this whistle. Dogs and people and everybody else. People that are hard of hearing can hear it. When you have leadership calling for not just protest, but get in people's face and ruin their lunch and then follow them when they go through their day. So who is being the most uncivil? But my worry is, you know, you could do that. Okay, you could score it. We'll do that with Brendan. He defends it in his piece why he thinks Democrats definitely are more, you know, the more the offending party, even though you survey American people and they don't think it's so. They think the Democrats are more civil and the Republicans are not. But what does that accomplish? Okay, say you're right. Say we score it. And we'll talk to Brendan about it. We score it, and Democrats are more uncivil right now than Republicans. What is that? How does that? What does that do? What does that score mean? Okay, so you can rest on your laurels. I was right. They're more uncivil. What does that fix? What does that change? If you're going to say they're uncivil, are you going to think they're going to be the protesters, whether they be well-intentioned and good protesters or the Antifa dirtbags or whomever, do you think they're all going to go, you're right, like it's the end of a sitcom or a drama, you're right, I never saw it that way, you're right, we're all friends again? I mean, what do we expect? So you score that win to what effect? Where do we go from here? Once again, that's why I think people need to wake up and realize you get tugged by the nose with that ring, right? That bull ring through your nose. What's going on here? That's why I suggest that, you know, when there are nuanced discussions to happen in politics, whether they be on social issues affecting our country, even though those, you know, the legislature, they don't want to deal with that. They let that go to the judicial branch. But fiscal issues, trade issues, all these things, if they're nuanced and hard to understand, why would you dare try to argue that when you can just call the other folks a bunch of poopy heads, right? Yes, I said poopy. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier than, because if you get into a nuanced discussion of policy and what this might be and what this pointy head says versus this other pointy head said, and here's this long-term economic philosophy versus another one, you'll lose the majority of us, right? So we just went, what side do I need to be on? What side? Where's my side? I'm looking at people on Twitter right now. No matter what I say, I know how they will react. I could say anything and they'll always be contrary. So a win for their team, right? All right, well, we'll bounce this around with Brendan Kirby here when we come back. Also check in with Dr. Bill, get an update on our forecast, even looking through the weekend forecast. It looks like a little cooler. Of course, it's going to have some rain in the mix, but Dr. Bill says we may even get more next week. We need rain. It's October. It's dry. It's normal. It's okay. Mike, what? Mike suggests that the cracked black pepper Kaneka needs more crack. I enjoyed it, but if it had more cracked black pepper, I would like it too. But Mike, I have the ability in my own home to add that to it right there in the skillet. Well, now I don't have a pepper grinder. I just grab a hammer out of the shop and smack the... Coming right back.